Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. On San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3, The Fan, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. They are together today in the Odyssey Palace Studios. I'm traveling. Reno, Nevada. And we get into a little Chris versus the fans here in just a minute. Thanks again to Keith Smith, talking NBA. He does a great job of breaking it down. Honestly, and will be interesting to see this game tonight. Oklahoma City, number one defense in the NBA in every single category, going against Cleveland, the number one offense in every single category. And, you know, two teams with 31-4 against 30-5. The last time, Tony, that two teams played in the regular season with 10-game winning streaks, it was your Lakers,
of course,
and Portland, and it was in the year 2000. So we haven't had a game like this in 25 years in the NBA.
Yeah, so. you don't always. First, you don't always get two teams off to this hot of a start at the same time, and the fact that they're matching up at a time where they're both pretty sizzling hot is exciting. These are the type of games that the NBA wants to have rolling. During this time of year, right? I mean, it's already tough when the ratings are, or when people are tuned, locked into the NBA. It's already tough competing against college football and the NFL. Both of them have expanded their season, so it's trickulating a little bit further into the NBA season. And once it's gone, though, it'll just be the NBA again. And I think you'll start to see more eyeballs come back. But these type of matchups certainly help.
I will say one thing. Somewhere David Stern is rolling over, though, Tony, because when he was commissioner, he would have never allowed two small market franchises like Oklahoma City and Cleveland to be running away with the best records in the league. He always seemed to make sure that it was the Lakers or the Bulls or the Celtics or somebody like that was at the top of the standings. I don't know how he did it, but he somehow did it.
In the great David Stern's defense, he was dealing with a much different league, much smaller league at that point, right? I mean, especially early on. Remember, Magic and Larry pretty much kind of saved the NBA, and then then Michael came right behind it. He kind of put it on his shoulders, and so he kind of had to operate that way for a little bit, but now it's a different league. People are consuming it differently. It's not just the major markets holding the league up. And so I think you got to make the adjustment, and Adam Silver has done that. And so it's a much bigger platform they're working with now, seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these star players, SGA and Donovan Mitchell,
players used to want to only go to the big cities. Now they're scattered all around the league.
Yeah, good point, Tony. All right, we'll keep an eye on that game for you. In the meantime, we'll play our game, the regular 4 o'clock edition of Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, today we are actually going to read the prize. You will be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize, a trip to Las Vegas to see Scorpions on March 6th, plus a two-night stay at Planet Hollywood and a $100 gas card. Scorpions return with their 60 years of the Scorpions Las Vegas Residency Show live February 27th to March 11th at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. The rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get that first question for free today. And I missed it. Dang it.
What did you miss?
I saw the thing at the with 2 seconds ago saying it was going to go to that next one, and it was an automatic, and so it did. Never mind. You don't care.
Wait, what?
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
You don't care. All right. Here we go. Let's get our first contestant for today. The longest holding caller on the line is Jason.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How are you, my friend?
Hey, doing well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Here we go. First question of the day. How old was Mr. Tiger Woods when he won his first Masters?
Oh, boy. Let's go 26.
26.
Stay there.
Mr. Ello.
This is the number one question?
Number one question.
I thought this was pretty common knowledge, but maybe not.
I got to guess Tiger Woods' age the day he won the first Masters.
Oh, maybe this isn't a common knowledge question.
Not common knowledge at all.
Oh, okay.
He told you.
Well, it's not 26. What did he say, 26?
He said 26, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he was much younger than that. I'll say 22. I really don't know.
Chris.
Lives on. The age was 21.
Yeah.
First 21. Masters.
I thought that was okay. Yeah. All right. That was a bad question. Bad first question, but it works for
tough one.
Jason.
No, good. It's all right.
Jason on
alive.
To round number two. Here we go. Question number two. Who was the starting pitcher for the Padres on the regular opening day last year? Now you got to clarify
not
with the regular.
Not Korea.
Okay, so
the game
home
against
opener,
the Giants.
Against the Giants.
It was in San Francisco with the.
Against the
Major
Giants.
Major League Baseball opening day for
okay.
every team.
There you go.
Who was the starting pitcher that day?
You know what? I want to say Yu Darvish.
He wants to say Yu Darvish.
I'm just going to give it to
Man,
you.
Man, that was quick.
Yeah, because I didn't want him to change his mind, so it was Yu Darvish.
Are you putting your thumb on the scale here?
On the scale?
On the scale of winning and losing here? You hit the button early, you didn't have a chance to maybe second guess
oh,
himself?
Oh, yeah, once you say the right answer, it's in there.
Oh, okay.
Except for if it's Chris.
Okay.
Except for if it's Chris.
Rules for different people. Here
yes,
we go.
That's true.
Question number three, Jason. What is the maximum number of clubs you are allowed to carry with you in a round of golf?
Oh, boy. Golf is my weak sport. Let's go with, I'd say 10.
He says 10.
Stay there.
Hello.
I think I know this.
Whoa.
I think I know it, but I guess because I've heard him talk about it before.
Oh.
It's an important thing, and you can get disqualified if you have too many, right?
Yes, you can.
True. I think it's 14, but I'm not sure. I got my fingers crossed.
Sorry, Jason. All right, Chris. All right, I see you, Chris. I see you.
And guys do different.
Scraby,
you can confirm this, but guys don't have the same 14, do they?
No. You can have any sort of combination of 14 clubs you want.
Right.
All right. Let's get to our next contestant.
Next contestant is?
We're going to go to David.
Hello, David. Welcome.
Hey, David.
To Gwen Chris.
Good afternoon, David.
Doing well, brother. Here we go. First question.
All right.
This is such a random first question, and I don't even think it's a first question, to be honest, so I'm not going to ask it.
Which
I'm
one?
Not gonna ask the Von Miller question.
Okay, then move to number two.
Yeah, I'll go a different one. Where did Marcus Stroman start his baseball career?
Giancarlo's Little League.
I'm sorry. Mr. Ello?
I'm pretty sure I saw him in San Carlos Little League. I think I owned one of his games. This is a tough one, boy. He's been with about 17 teams. Did he start? I don't know. Mets.
Wow. That is incorrect. I think he's only been on four teams.
Four teams.
The answer was the Blue Jays.
Yep.
That's when he was had the sizzle on his Sanka. All right. Who's our next? No,
Dave's still
David,
here.
You're still here. Yep.
I'm still here.
Question number two. Where was the game located when DeMar Hamlin had his medical emergency?
Ooh. Which stadium or which state?
Which city? Or which team they were playing?
Wasn't that New England?
New England.
Stay
not
there.
New England. Hello.
It's too harrowing of a night to forget. It was in Cincinnati.
That is
sorry,
correct.
David.
Sorry, David.
Sorry about that, David.
We move on to our next contestant.
We're going to go to John in San Diego.
John in San Diego, welcome to the show.
How we doing, guys?
Doing well, my friend.
Hey, John.
Here we go. First question. What is the name? Oh, we needed this so bad, I must say. What is the name of the 2020 ESPN sports documentary miniseries that focused on Michael Jordan's final season with the Chicago Bulls?
That would be The Last Dance.
Last Dance.
Hey,
we needed that so bad.
We counted down the minutes till that show started.
Our show definitely needed it.
I didn't watch it.
Dude, if you don't knock it off,
you watched it.
No, don't listen to this. He's being ridiculous. He watched it because he was in here asking questions us with KC.
I was like, hey, why did Michael Jordan refuse Horace Grant food on the plane?
That's right. You definitely watched it.
Still trying to work on Horace, by the way.
All right, here we go. Question number two. Who was at the Ohio State? Or I should say, who was the Ohio State coach in charge when they won their last major championship?
Or national championship.
That would be Urban Meyer.
Wow.
That would be Urban. Do you remember? Do you remember who took Urban down? Or what took Urban down?
Kicking the kicker?
Kicking the kicker that happened, but wasn't there like a
going to a bar?
No, that was in Jacksonville.
What is coaches?
Oh, you're talking Ohio State.
Ohio State.
One of his coaches was beating
his wife.
And he stood by him, like covered it up. It was not good.
It was all bad.
And then the Jaguars said, "Come on down, come on down to our franchise."
Kicked the kicker. He had the young lady.
Josh Lambeau will never forget
the young lady in the bar
on his lap in the picture. When he didn't fly home with his team from Cincinnati, he ended up going to his restaurant instead.
He was a piece of work there. But that goes to show you, we were talking about it earlier, how these owners just make stupid decisions.
And all the signs were there for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but something must have told the owners then and the people there that he was the perfect guy.
Good pick.
He wasn't.
He's a winner. All right, here we go. Question number three. Okay. What current starting NFL QB is tied for the single game completion record?
Football?
Yes, the history of football. But this is an active player.
I'm going to go with Jared Goff.
Oh!
Wow! That was impressive. Really? That was really impressive. I gotta say,
I gotta ask you before you put him on mute for the rest of this segment. How'd you get there?
I remember seeing a statistic on one of either the Sunday night or Monday night games where he was going through like weeks 12 through 16 or something like that he was up there. That was just money. A shot in the dark.
That was awesome,
That's
John.
That's money. Nice
John,
work, John.
John's got it right because a lot of my questions on like Monday and Tuesday come from a broadcast of games because they give me good stats.
That's pretty sweet. I like that. That was a good one.
Yeah, good
one.
Good nice job, work, John. Stay right there.
Hang on the line. We got to get to break.
I have John Heyman has said something about Roki Sasaki, kind of updating us on what's happening with Roki Sasaki. Is he closer to a decision?
I'm a spoiler alert. You're not going to like it. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. I think it's me. So it's 421 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Checking out, Chris brought this up during the break, watching the Cavs and OKC. Cavs have like 9 assistant coaches. Like half, more than half of the bench is coaches.
They have two rows of people. The front row is the coach, the head coach, and like 3 assistants.
It's 4 assistants, and the coach, I believe, right now is standing up. So, yeah, there's 4 assistants and the coach in the front row.
But then there's a back row with like 5 or 6 more guys.
And you
sitting
mentioned
behind
that,
them.
You mentioned that. I didn't get a chance to respond to you because we came on air, but that is most NBA rosters now. There's
really?
A lot of them have these huge staffs. That's why it ever looks like there's
what
no...
What do they do? There's only 10 guys on a team.
You know what
12.
They do? They do a lot of the pregame workouts with these guys. So that's stuff you guys see them when they're getting the ball thrown to them and they're going through like different things. You see Steph doing it before games. You see LeBron. Everybody has like a... Those coaches have 2 or 3 guys that they work solely with, right? And that's where the NBA, from a skill standpoint and a development point, has changed... from that standpoint.
I mean, I'm not going back that far, but when Phil Jackson was with the Bulls, he had 3 assistant coaches, period.
Right. Same 3, too, for pretty much...
For the entire run, yeah, right. It was the same 3 guys. Tex Winter was one of them. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... I can't believe that the NBA teams have so many guys. Yeah. That's amazing to me.
It's kind of like baseball. I mean, the traveling party is so much bigger now because it's not just
you're right.
Your pitching coach, your first base coach, your third base coach, your manager, maybe a bullpen coach. You know, it's
someone to carry Tony's bags.
No, Tony carries his own bag.
And bring him up to his room.
Yes, and unpack it for him.
First of all, you guys.
Mr. Gwynn, your underwear is in the top left drawer.
Wait a minute, Scraby. Don't forget his... TG. Don't forget his helicopter pilot.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
TG likes to hang on to his cash. So I walk down and get my own bag, come back up. That's how you avoid having to come out of pocket. You know what
I'm
saying?
Pay extra,
Somebody else is bringing your bag up. You got to tip that.
What is a proper tip for someone to bring your bag up?
You know what's funny? Is I'm old enough now to have seen the tip change over time.
Really?
Yeah,
I bet it's up
to
$10.
Standard used to be 5.
Yeah.
When my dad was playing.
Yeah.
Then now it's you look get strange looks if you go to a 5. You better bring out a crispy 10.
Crispy 10.
This hits me to the core.
Don't get me started on the whole tipping thing.
Yeah, because
it's a new ball game now.
Well, I don't mind tipping. I will tip you well if you are good. But when I tip you and you don't like it, do not give me the eye.
I got a question for our listeners out here, and you guys can help me. And I get flustered with it all the time. I typically just go along with it. You order takeout. You go in, you pay, you put your little chip on that thing, you go doo doo.
Yeah,
and the tip thing comes up.
Yeah,
already lined up for you.
Yep,
right. And you haven't. All they've done is really take your order.
They've bagged it,
right? And they're staring at you as you are picking which one you want.
That's right.
I mean,
it happened to me today. I'll be honest with you. Today, I got a sandwich here at the hotel, and it was about $12, and then the tip thing came up, and the guy was right there.
I tell you
what, I had to give him like $3 tip. I couldn't walk away.
My wife is on my head about it all the time because typically, if I'm by myself, I get some food, regardless whether I sit down or not. I usually tip. You know what I'm saying? I just do.
Yeah,
I do too. Just because, like, I don't want them to spit my food and flag my phone number.
There's an element of kind of, I don't want to say peer pressure, but
there's
some type of pressure on you right there, Phil.
It's like when Vons used to ask me, Would you like to save a child's life today and round up your 97 cents and the entire lives behind me? And I barely got 96 cents in my account. And I say no, and then everybody in the line judges me.
I can't give up these 3 cents right now.
I literally need these 3 cents. I do tip people. The takeout thing.
At first,
it depends on how they treat me, honestly.
At first, it was like automatic. I would just do it. But, you know, you eat out enough, you start to like, yeah, man, what am I tipping right here?
But if you press the no tip button, don't you end up almost running out of the store?
I don't know. The only time I've pressed no is if I do this often. I'll order something, pay for it, tip. And then I forget to get something, like a bag of chips or the drink to go along with it. So then I got to go back in line, I get it, and I'm like, no, I'm not giving you another tip.
Oh, at that point I'll go to a gas station and get some chips at that point, because then I don't have to tip the gas station convenience store person.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina has something interesting.
What
she
you got,
said
Katrina?
You round up and they get you to donate to their tax break. So they take that money, donate it, and get a tax break.
Who's taking
like when they ask you to round up?
So the three cents
it makes sense.
Goes towards somebody's tax break?
Yeah, because then they donate all the money, and then they're like, hey, we donated this money.
Oh, Vons is donating
that money.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to actually say that Vons is doing this.
I'm saying whoever's got that on their thing.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, got to say. Kind of crazy. John Heyman, real quick.
Oh, yes. I tried to stall you guys as much as I could.
It's all good. John Heyman, he was being asked about Roky Sasaki and specifically the Cubs. But it's not about the Cubs. It's about the last thing that he said that caught my attention. He said that he's friendly with Imanaga of the Cubs.
Wait, real quick. Is there not sound? Is it just?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I couldn't find the sound. I've been looking everywhere for this sound.
So you mean we actually have to hear you say this?
Yes.
That's what Tony meant by that.
I have a great reading voice.
Sure you do. Go ahead.
I hear he's friendly with Imanaga, so maybe the Cubs have a possibility. I'm not doing a good John Heyman. So I could see Sasaki going to the Cubs. But here's where it got me. Also, John Heyman said it feels, quote, more wide open for Sasaki than it seemed in the beginning. So that tells me that more teams have entered. That tells me that more teams, maybe a team has dropped out.
I don't think that tells you more teams have entered. I don't even think it tells you it drops out. I just think that his mind may be open to more than maybe was initially thought. You know? In terms of the places he'll go that maybe, you know, weren't on everybody else's list.
He's going to be a Red.
That would be something right there.
Guys, I don't want to do this.
It feels like you're going to do it anyway, though.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
I'm starting to lose hope on the Sasaki thing.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
That's
all it took?
No, I want him to be a Padre. I just don't have the same feeling that I did before the break.
You know, a lot of people don't believe John. So, I mean...
And I haven't said...
When's the last time John Heyman was right about something, Arson Judge? Come on.
Why are we taking shots 2 days in a row at John Heyman?
Because he doesn't come on our show anymore. Because he's not allowed
to,
I get it.
That's not his fault. He's allowed to come on our show. I don't know why you said he's not allowed to.
Well, then why did he stop?
Because the company didn't want to give it. Yeah. Never mind.
You better get careful.
He was an Odyssey insider. They had so many allotted spots. Tony's an Odyssey insider, so you have, like, say, I'm just making it up, 20 hits a year you have to do.
Okay,
and once
you're
done.
Okay.
Scraby giving you curtain.
Yeah, I've had a few email arguments about how poorly we've been treated in the guest department on certain days.
Yes, you have. I've seen some of those emails.
Yeah.
You're not a...
I mean, don't confirm a guest for us and have us promoted all day and then tell us like 10 minutes before the show, hey, well, he's not going to come on anymore because I forgot.
Nothing pisses Scraby off more. He really gets it.
And that's saying something because it's a long list of things that bother him.
That is true. That is really true.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, more Scraby. More Big Five.
Oh, everybody's loving that.
More Gwen and Chris. Isn't that my turn, or is it? It's Chris's turn, huh? Oh, no, Chris is gone. It's just me and you, huh?
Well, yes, it will be me and you We're going to have the Big Five with Chris. Oh, we'll just tell everyone what's going on. We recorded the Big Five because he had to go head over to his San Diego State game. So, but then it will be just us two after that.
Really, Scraby is busy saying that. I messed that up right there. I wasn't supposed to tell you on that until after.
You know, once but we started the video,
I thought
Tony,
that we had that conversation before he left us on air, but we didn't. It was off air.
Yeah, it was off air. And once we went to the video,
We couldn't do. See, I can't see video.
Well, we don't have video, so we have to put up the graphic that says the Big Five recorded earlier or whatever. So people figured out
they know it anyway.
Our trick. But so for a long time, we were pretty good at it.
We were pretty money at that. All right. We usually would go to traffic right now. We are going to go to traffic. It is ready. And then the Big Five.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Accident has been cleared from lanes westbound King Freeway near the 15 in the North County. Northbound side of the 5 before Carmel Valley Road. Crash being cleared out of the fast lane. Up ahead, just before the racetrack. Got a collision involving a couple vehicles. That's over the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, now that everybody knows that Chris was mouthing, who the hell cares over there, everybody should do it too. Chris, I had a few people tell me yesterday that they do the same thing, so don't worry, you're not alone.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
Because you're not the only one mouthing Peter Griffin during an open, but...
It's a terrible feeling to be alone.
Yes. Yes, it is. Right. And on that note, I'll go to number 5.
All right.
According to a report from The Athletic's Will Salmon, not salmon like the fish, salmon, the Mets are shopping for bullpen help and have met likely via phone or video with Tanner Scott, who is widely considered to be the best reliever available in free agency and Shohei Ohtani's kryptonite, as we all know. At this point, Chris, what do you think are the chances for a Padres reunion?
I think they're pretty lousy, but I thought they were pretty lousy from the very beginning. I mean, this is not a desperate need for the Padres right now. You've got your closer in Robert Suarez. I think you're as good as you can be setting him up. Obviously, if you had Tanner Scott, it'd be fantastic. But, you know, there's two things here. First, the Padres need to be able to afford Tanner Scott. And secondly, Tanner Scott would have to want to be a Padre. And I don't think he wants to be a Padre because he wants to be a full-time closer. So I've never felt that this was even a reunion worth hoping for because I really don't think there's any chance.
All right. So to a point, what do you think the chances that there is a Padres reunion with Tanner Scott?
Not high. Likeliness not high. I don't know that he doesn't want to return. I don't know that the Padres have the kind of money to bring him here right now based on what we know before any of this took place in the last 48 hours, right? I think it's been pretty obvious that the Padres, although they weren't planning to cut back as much as they did last year, they weren't necessarily trying to boost it by a ton, at least from what we've read. And so I would say just from that standpoint alone, I don't know that that the Padres factor in from that standpoint. I would love for a reunion to happen, though.
He was chasing you around the clubhouse pouring champagne all over. So yes, maybe
he was dousing me every chance he got.
Maybe you are the golden voice that can bring Tanner Scott back to the team.
I don't think so, Scraby.
I don't think so. I think you and I are the golden voices.
Oh yes.
Because we were the ones that brought up the statistic that he'd only thrown one changeup in his life.
He did like that.
We had him on that interview.
That is true.
And he loved that.
That is true. That's one good thing I've done in the past 8 years, guys.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Number 4.
You won't get any disagreement from me, Chris, there, buddy.
I wasn't expecting it.
Good job, Tony. You're coming along. You're coming along, Tony.
UCLA's men's basketball coach Mick Cronin did not mince words yesterday after his team got beat by Michigan 94-75. Here's Coach Cronin assessing his team from last night.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win. It's crazy, you know. And it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. You got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are. But we don't.
That is.
Speak to him.
Is one of maybe the most direct things I've ever heard a college coach say to their players before in the media. Tony,
A coach other than Robert Montgomery Knight.
Yeah, no.
Probably said that every game. But
if this was Mike McDaniel, he'd be giving him hugs, telling him it'll be okay. Right,
probably.
Chris?
Yeah, probably.
All right, so Tony, you're up first. How many guys hit the transfer portal after this? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It was the first thought I had, though. Do you think what he said was the right way to go about this?
Right way in terms of what?
Motivating his team.
I don't know that he was trying to motivate his team. That sounded like...
Is he quitting on his
that's,
team?
No, it sounded like a dude who's frustrated. As he said, I've got almost 500 wins. I don't have to be out here.
I'm 53.
He enjoys being out there. Now, don't get me wrong, he gets paid a handsome fee to be out there. But in terms of winning, I mean, it's telling. He said he has the most energy out of everybody who's in the practice. He's dealing with all, like...
He's 53. That's right? Impressive.
That shouldn't be the case. And so I felt his frustration. Now, I'm not in practice, so I don't know if he just made that up to possibly irritate his team or to get some guys to jump into the portal. But I got to say, it is refreshing. It's very refreshing. Not the soft part, because I feel like that gets thrown around a lot. But the delusional part.
Strong word.
Man, that I'm sure that hit the left side on quite a few of those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe it didn't, which is part of the problem.
That's
part
also
of the problem.
True. Chris, do you think what he said was the right way to go about this?
You know me. I'm old school, and I love coaches telling it like it is. And you know, we complain, right, when coaches give us these boring everyday answers, and then we complain when they say they're real feelings. So we can't have it both ways. Having said all of that, I think this was a little strong. I really do, and I very rarely think it's too strong, but I'm looking at a UCLA team this year that beat Gonzaga. I'm looking at a UCLA team this year that you know, is still 11-4. I don't know that it's time to throw away the season, and I think a lashing like this can be something that is long-lasting and has an effect. I certainly would have my feelings hurt if I was one of the assistant coaches. I mean, he basically told me I'm lazy too, and I'm not working very hard. He was able to sneak that in, as well as, you know, ripping on his players. You know, I think when I've always felt when things are going poorly on the floor and they've lost two in a row, when things are going poorly on the floor, I think that's when your coach needs to be your best friend. And I think when things are going well, that's when you need to snap guys back to attention. And I think a team that not, you know, two straight losses, 3 out of 4, he's trying to snap them back to attention. But I'm pretty sure they're already down on themselves to begin with.
Yeah, I mean.
Or maybe not. Maybe that's why he had to go
full
scorched earth.
Maybe they were in. Maybe he walked in the locker room and everybody's celebrating, listening to music.
We can't act like we haven't said the same thing about not this team, but other instances in which you say, "Man, they look like they didn't even really want to be there." So we know it happens.
Right.
We know it definitely happens. We hear it from pretty much every coach, not named Man, I just lost
Brian
my train
Dutcher.
Of thought. Bad name, Brian Dutcher. You know what I'm saying?
We
like,
don't have these problems
no,
with Brian Dutcher.
But, you know, he's also may not playing the same game that everybody else is. They often talk about when they come on the show, whether it's the players or the coaches, is that there is a specific type of Aztec that they're looking for.
Yeah.
There's a buy-in that these guys have, that they bring in, clearly buy into. At least right now. Now, it seems like these things are very fluid. Like, it can change.
Depends on the
on
success.
A whim. Yeah, maybe so.
All right.
Number three.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, Brian Dutcher doesn't have guys that are delusional. So
that's true.
That was easily the word that stands out the most.
Yes. He said they're nice kids, but they're delusional. Bill Belichick hasn't even made it to spring practices yet for North Carolina. He's already reportedly drawn interest from multiple NFL teams. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero said today that Las Vegas Raiders minority owner Tom Brady spoke to Belichick, quote, about what it would take to make a reunion happen, end quote. According to Pelissero, multiple NFL teams have inquired about Belichick's willingness to return to the NFL and leave the Tar Heels even after agreeing to a 5-year contract with the program. That contract, however, did feature something that we did talk about. A $10 million buyout if he leaves before June 1st, 2025. So he has time.
You got to explain the after part, though. Do you know what it is after that date?
No.
It's $1 million.
So if he waits till June 2nd, he could make the decision
on June 2nd? It's a cheaper option after that point.
Interesting.
And why would you have that put in your contract?
Because you want to go back to the NFL.
Because maybe you want to leave that option open.
Even though you said you wouldn't go back to the NFL. All right, Chris, you're up first here. Do you think Bill Belichick coaches one college game for North Carolina?
There's a dastardly, cynical part of me that doesn't want him ever to coach a game for North Carolina so that Bill Belichick can then go down in history as, like, the most two-faced coach in the history of the
You want him to be the new Saban, don't you?
He's already done this once, right? I mean, he's quit on a job.
Look, you guys asked me why I never liked Nick Saban. I mean, this is exactly why. You know, I mean, the guy would say one thing and then 5 minutes later be on a plane elsewhere. You know, and this would be the same thing if Belichick does something like this. So I really got to believe he's got to coach at least 1 year. The fact that Tom Brady approached him makes perfect sense, but just because he's approached him doesn't mean that Belichick gave him an answer and said, here's what it's going to take. So, you know, I understand the reports. I understand that this kind of thing is going to probably come up. I'm hoping that North Carolina was smart enough to realize that this would probably happen, but I'm hoping also that Belichick's smart enough to realize he'll never be able to show his face again if he does something like this.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad, even in 2025.
Yeah, number two.
Wait, what about Tony?
Oh, duh. That's my bad, Tony.
What was the actual question?
Do you think Bill Belichick coaches at least one college game for UNC?
Yeah,
let me start that over. That was the worst way to ask that question. Do you think Bill Belichick coaches one college game, Tony?
Yeah, the way you act that question is... was definitely off, but I would say yes. I can't see him being that. I mean, he did. How long did he coach the Cleveland Browns? Didn't he like sign and then like bounce before or the Jets?
It was the Jets that he was hired as coach, and then Robert Kraft got him away before he ever signed.
So I mean, there's at least some evidence that he can do it.
There's a precedent.
There's a precedent for it. So I would have it would be tough to see him. I can't see him doing it twice, though.
I can't either.
For what? Like, here's the thing that is tough. I don't know that outside of Robert Kraft, that there's an owner out there and a GM, for that matter, depending on what organization is, that's going to let him have full reign. Maybe he doesn't want that anymore, but he's certainly going to have that at North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that it's as much as I'm sure it's just good business and smart for him to have that clause in there to where he could. I don't know that he's looking to actually pursue it. So I'm going to say he coaches at least 1 year.
I really want to see him coach North Carolina. I want to see how this goes.
I want to see the kids be able to benefit from that. Because, you know, it's hard to be delusional in a Bill Belichick world.
Yeah, you can't be delusional there. Number two. Hey, everybody. Zion Williamson made his return for the New Orleans Pelicans on Tuesday.
Chris, listen to how happy he is right now saying that right there.
And wait till we hear how happy he is when he tells us that he's sitting out tonight. I know that's where it's going.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's already I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Throw that into this question.
He returned after a 27-game absence with a bad hamstring. Last night finished with 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals on 9 of 15 shooting. So he played pretty well. The Pelicans were plus 8 in his 28 minutes, and the team is terrible. They're 7-30, guys. I didn't realize it was that bad. And they have 45 games left. So, Tony, you're up first here. Over, under 29.5 games played for Zion the rest of the way. With 45 left, he has to at least play 30 to go over.
Ooh. This is one of those bets that could go up in flames like after 3 games. And like,
well, he's already sitting out tonight, apparently.
they gotta ramp him up. I'm going to say over. Come on, Zion.
Okay. Chris, over under 29.5 games played the rest of the way for Zion.
I'm going to put in a little addendum to my bet here.
I hate when Chris does that. He can't answer the dang question. I almost swore.
It's my favorite thing Chris does, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm answering it in my way. I think that he will play over 30 games, but only if he's traded to another team. Mm. And I don't know what the money situation, and it's really difficult to make trades in the NBA. But I think Zion Williamson probably would like to get out of New Orleans where they're 7-30. And I think he'd like to get somewhere where he can be competitive. And if you watched him last night, and I saw some of the game,
it's pretty good.
I think the guy was throwing in windmill dunks.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, it was like he had never left.
and he looked like he was in shape.
Yeah, I mean, he is so incredibly talented that some team in contention would be stupid to not try to get him somehow. So if that happens, he plays more than 30. But if it doesn't, then no way he plays 30 for the Pelicans.
Can't you blame him for the 7-30 start?
They have other guys injured, too.
Okay. Yeah.
They really do. They've had a lot of injuries.
Who's the Laker guy that went there? Is it Brandon Ingram?
Yes.
Ingram, yeah.
Is he still there?
Yes, he's hurt.
I think he's been hurt, too, though.
Oh, well, that doesn't help. That also contributes to 7 wins in 37 games. All right, Zion, you got to make these guys look smart. Play at least 30 games.
Number one.
The Texas State football program is very proud of something not many people think they should be proud about. They posted on X an announcement about a record that they reached as a team this year, guys. The 2024 Texas State football team recorded the highest GPA in program history.
Atta, guys.
Here's the thing. The highest GPA in program history is 2.84. And that's
so what'd they get?
That's a C average. That's it. 2.84 is the highest program history GPA.
That's the new...
Oh, they set the record with a 2.84.
Oh, got
this
you.
Is the new record.
As a team.
As a team. And people are roasting them. They roasted them to the point where they turned off comments. Some responses include, quote, "Congrats to Texas State for having a C average." Another reply was... Never mind. I didn't put the other reply in here. I'm just reading right now.
What was that reply again?
I wrote it, and then I never put it in there. Okay. I'm all over the place right now. I don't even know who's first anymore. Chris?
I am.
Is this something to celebrate, a 2.84 record average GPA?
First of all, 2.84 is something to celebrate if it's an earned run average. But whether it's something to be celebrated as a grade point average might be a different story. I think 2.84 is a C+, though.
Okay.
I'm going to give them just a little bit of a nod because I think 2.0 is a straight C.
Okay.
So let's give them a little due here.
All right.
Look. I think they have a right to be a little proud of this. I mean, obviously they've had trouble with their football team getting any kind of grades. So, you know, they're trying to at least make a positive out of something. Obviously, it'd be nice if they could climb over that beloved 3 mark. But I'm going to stick up a little bit for Texas State.
Good.
Because they're one of the teams that I'm rumored to hear is coming to the Pac-12. And I don't want to say anything against them before maybe they become
even get here.
Conference rivals, yeah.
Tony,
yeah,
is this something to celebrate?
I'm going
to
take up for them, too. I think, first, you got to Got to take into account, this is not a one-person GPA. This is a football team of how many people are we talking?
Hundreds could be,
you know, so you're averaging everybody. And even if you have a top-tier class of, you know, B-plus students, if you have any students that, if you have more that are below and you got, because this is old football rules. Like, they haven't dwindled their roster down to 80. You know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of kids, walk-ons included, that get involved in there, that go on your GPA as a team. So I think they should have celebrated. I think this is, by the way, and this is no knock on Texas State, but we're talking Texas State. We're not talking Cal Berkeley. We're not talking like some of the higher educated institutions we have. And the fact that they just set a record, I think it should be celebrated. It shows that their football program, at least in 2024-5, is progressing in a way that is, you know, outside of the football lines.
You guys are too
nice. I think they should send out a tweet to all of their supporters and say 2.84, you have to walk before you can run.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that would be a hit somewhere. Tweet.
You have to walk before you can run.
Yeah, but they did turn replies off on this tweet because...
Because, you know, here's the deal. Like, you know, their students, those people who are part of that 284, they're seeing those comments. You know, these...
You know there's one guy with a 4.0, he's like, I'm lumped in with the 2.8 guys.
Right, I mean, I just think this, it's... What are you getting out of hopping in the comments and being like... These guys are idiots. Why are you even posting this? Or why are you even putting this on here?
What do people get out of hopping in any comment?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Do you guys remember your GPA in college?
Yeah. My GPA was way better in college than it was in high school.
Oh, mine was the opposite. Mine was so much better. I was a 3.8 in high school, and I got to down to 2.2 because of my partying in college, but then I worked it back up to a 3.0, which is hard work.
I was a 3.3 instead.
What? Chris?
2.5? They didn't keep grade point averages when I was in school.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to go down to the caves and look at the wall for the report card. All right, everybody. That is it for the Big Five. When we get back, we'll reset everything that's happened today, give you the stories that we talked about earlier in the show, and maybe some new opinions. So all that's up next on 97.3 The Fan.